Halliday Headquarters Studio at WSB.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. This is our New Year's Eve edition of Atlanta Living. How festive. And my next guest, Atlanta Magazine says Miles McQuarrie could serve his cocktails in an old shoe and they'd taste better than those of his competitors. So that is quite the compliment, Miles.
Yes, I really like that one. I think that must have been Christian Lauterbach on that one.
So you are head and tails above your competition.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. Well, how did you get there? What are your beginnings?
So I was a bartender at Brickstore for a long time and then built the cocktail program at Leon's and was the bar manager there for the first 4.5 years. And then with my friends and business partners, we opened our dream restaurant, Kimball House, a little over 5 years ago. And it was important for us to, kind of make that something that was significant to the city by looking back to Atlanta's past and trying to do something that we thought would make sense for a long time.
James Beard Award nominations?
Yes, we have been nominated every year for Outstanding Bar Program for the James Beard Award, which is very exciting.
And for people that don't know, that is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, it's the Academy Awards of the restaurant business.
So next year you're going to bring it home.
We hope so.
Absolutely. What is your dream? What, when you're making your concoctions and you're lying in bed or you're in the shower, when you're coming up with your ingredients, where do you get your inspiration?
A lot of it's from the past. I think, right before Prohibition hit was a peak for cocktail culture, and it's an American invention. So we take that as the basis for the foundation of the drinks and then look to modern techniques and what chefs are doing in kitchens and local ingredients and kind of smash the two together.
Because sometimes when I'm served a drink, and I tend to like savory drinks, not super sweet, I'm like, I would never have put those two ingredients together, never in a million years, and they work so perfectly.
Yeah, it's a lot of trial and error, and the longer you do it, the more you learn what works, and you can kind of nail it first try. But there's been plenty of failures in the past.
And this is my buddy David Danzig of the website BitesAndSites.net, my food writer for Atlanta Social Season Magazine and Encore Magazine, and he is all things Atlanta eating and drinking.
Yep.
And so he's a big fan of Kimball House and a fan of yours. And so, David, what's your experience?
Well, I mean, Miles, I'd say, my experience, like when I first had the cocktails at the Kimball House, which is in downtown Decatur and the old train station, this is one of my favorite restaurants in the whole world. I think the experience I had was like, I really was, a lot of times you order a cocktail, it's sort of a means to an end. You're trying to unwind and relax and you just want to drink something and it's palatable. But your cocktails were like reading a book almost to me. Like it almost felt like there were stories behind them. I was really present to drinking the cocktail. I didn't just, throw them back. You want to kind of experience the ice in your drinks is different drink, different ice makes a difference. Watching the drinks be made at the Kimball House and now at your new place, Watchman's Seafood and Spirits, it's kind of an experience. So tell me about like how you, do you set out to create that as an experience or is it really just for the palate? Is it a total aesthetic thing?
It's all of them. I mean, the experience is great because you get to see somebody. It's almost like being at an open kitchen watching a chef work.
Exactly.
Technique is the foundation of our drinks at both restaurants. And so the way that they, perfect measurements in their jiggers, the right type of ice for the right drink, the way they shake and the way they stir.
Does that really make a difference, the right ice and the right drink, like the pearls versus the cubes versus the shaves?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we don't do shaved because it melts really quickly. So for crushed ice, we use bigger nugget crushed ice machines, which are great for juleps and, tiki drinks and all that sort of stuff. And then we have an ice purveyor that brings in crystal, big super clear cubes. And I think a lot of that just adds to, you know, you always eat and drink with your eyes first.
Yeah.
And so presenting something in a way that looks beautiful when you get it is important as well.
I mean, at the Kimball House, you make a pecan old fashioned.
It's on
that
right now.
Changed my life. Like, and you explained that, I mean, you actually render down the pecan, like you make the oil. That you could tell me about that.
Yeah, that one's you know, it's very simply listed on a menu, but it's quite technical on how we make it happen. So we get Pearson Farms pecans, which are some of the best pecans in the world. They've been the Elliott pecans from Pearson Farms have been like name dropped on Per Se's menu. And so they have lower tannins that are really flavorful. So we soak them in water to remove even more tannin. And then we toast them really hard and then infuse that directly into the bourbon sous vide with an immersion circulator.
Wow.
And then we strain that off. And then the problem is that it's cloudy because all of the fats that go in. So then we run it all through a centrifuge at like 4,500 RPMs. And then that goes into the drink. And so, you know, on the menu it just says bourbon, pecan, brown sugar, and bitters. But there's a lot of work that goes behind to creating simple flavors and doing it.
But you drink, you know, when I drink that drink, it's like I need some, like, leave me alone for a minute here. I got to be.
You need a moment.
I need a moment with it because it's so spectacular, you know, the flavors and the balance and your, you know, even the alcohol forward, you know, drinks that you make, they're so balanced. And complex. So
thank you very much.
Yeah, that's and so your new place is just open in Krog Street Market, Watchman's Seafood and Spirits.
Watchman's Seafood and Spirits.
And tell us about how you designed that cocktail menu to go along with Chef Daniel Chance's seafood menu.
So it's the technique is exactly the same. So we do a lot of, we focus on classics and then do our variations on them. And so from ice to glassware, all of that's very well thought out. And the difference is that it being a seafood restaurant with a lot of coastal influence, we wanted to kind of look to some of the historic Caribbean cocktails and kind of just give it a brighter, slightly more tropical aesthetic overall.
So when you are, sorry to step on you, David.
It's okay.
So when you are coming to conception with an idea for a cocktail, between that moment and then when it makes the menu, what's the time lapse?
Sometimes it is one day. Sometimes I'll be working on something for 3 weeks. And so it all just varies based on, you know, ingredients we're getting. Maybe I had a dish somewhere at a restaurant that inspired me. Maybe I saw something really cool in an old cocktail book that inspired me. It could really come from anywhere.
Have you ever had some epic fails that you just tried and tried and tried and then said, you know what, this is just square peg, round hole?
Yes, absolutely. And I'll tell you, there is nothing worse than having a buzz when you don't want one from trying a bunch of drinks and feeling defeated at the same time. So it's not a good buzz.
That's brutal. Oh, my gosh. So if with New Year's Eve on Monday, a lot of parties, people can be entertaining. You know, I'd like to, I'm gonna have some people over. I want them to come over and go, dude, this was great. Give us an easy layup of a recipe that's got a little wow factor maybe, or just that it's beyond your, you know, gin and tonic or something
that
simple.
We can make by the pitcher.
That Belinda and I could make mess up.
Yeah, so I will say that a French 75 is perfect
I
for New
love
Year's
a French 75.
Do you like it better with gin or cognac?
Gin.
Okay, so you there's two sides. There's make it with gin side and make it with cognac side. I like it both ways. I probably prefer it with cognac, but yeah. So a way to make that is you basically just take an ounce and a half of gin or cognac, 3/4 ounce of freshly squeezed lemon juice, and 1/2 ounce of simple syrup. Shake that together. Scale it up, mix it in a pitcher, however you want, and top it with some good Brut sparkling wine, and you're good to go. And here's a real trick, is that a lot of people don't have jiggers to measure cocktail ingredients at their house. A tablespoon is 1/2 ounce,
okay.
A lot of people don't realize. So you would do 3 tablespoons of gin or cognac, a tablespoon and a half of lemon juice and one tablespoon of simple syrup, and you're off. You're ready to go.
Okay, and you could adjust those measurements to make a pitcher more if you're going to be having a signature cocktail at your party.
Exactly. So if you wanted to do a big version, and you think of it as, you know, in parts, you would do 3 cups of gin or cognac, and then you just scale it up that way, and you can just do it in a big measuring cup and just kind of.
I don't know anyone that doesn't like a French 75.
Yeah, I think it's great for the holidays.
And it goes with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this to people who are like, oh, that seems like a lot of work. This is always my answer to that. The amount of work that people put into cooking at home is incredible. They'll, you know, do all sorts of prep, but they think it's too hard to do it for a drink. It takes 2 seconds to juice a lemon and less than a minute to make some simple syrup. So
that's a great point.
Yeah.
If people don't know how to make a simple syrup, how easy is that?
It is extremely easy. I would say don't ever boil it because because as the water comes to a boil, it will reduce and it won't be equal parts sugar and water anymore. So just take equal parts hot water and sugar and shake it up in a jar until it dissolves or whisk it or whatever, and you're good to go.
And you can keep that in the refrigerator for quite a while.
Yeah, you can keep the refrigerator for 2 weeks or longer.
Excellent. We are speaking with Miles McQuarrie. And he's with
the Kimball House in Decatur and the brand new Watchman Seafood and Spirits in Croc Street.
I had a blonde moment there for a while. You know, I was thinking about the
cocktails.
Drink.
Yeah, you were thinking about cocktails. Your friend 75.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to bring him back. We're going to pick his brain for more drinks that you can have on your table this New Year's Eve and make yourself look grand. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. We're here with Miles McQuarrie. He is a partner and mixologist at the Kimball House and Watchman Seafood and Spirits. And we have him in the studio with my buddy, David Danzig of the Bites and Sights website and of Encore Magazine. And we want to talk about a little bit about history of the Kimball House because it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so the Kimball House was a hotel that was built in the 1870s in Atlanta, and was sort of our muse for our entire restaurant. And the reason for that is that we knew we were going to do a classic American restaurant with French influence and have a great cocktail menu and oysters, and all of these things would have been very apparent in the dining halls and saloons of the Kimball House Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So how many
rooms were in the hotel? Do you know?
I'm not sure how many rooms were in there, but there was multiple dining halls and bars and saloons there. And one of them was called the Big Bonanza Saloon, which we named our private dining room after, which is called Bonanza at Kimball House. So we found some menus at the Atlanta History Center when we were kind of digging through to find some history on it that had, and the first thing on one of the menus was that they were serving Manhattan cocktails with Blue Point oysters. And we thought, well, this is what we want to do. This is incredible. And so there's just a really kind of long history of hotel bars. And a lot of times the best bartenders and the best drinks were served out of hotel bars. And so we kind of wanted to just embrace the past and kind of like say, hey, this is kind of an homage to like a classic hotel bar, even though we're in a historic train depot.
Absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about Watchman Seafood and Spirits.
Yeah, so the that kind of spawned from us dealing with a lot of really great southern oyster farmers and seeing how sustainable oyster farming was in the South, farmed oyster farming. And so that was our attempt to just really kind of put southern seafood on a pedestal. And with that, we wanted to do drinks that match it and a space that matches it. I think you know, having your food and drinks match a space is very important. So there, it's definitely more, a little more tropical. It's bright. You can feel like you're kind of, you know, at somewhere in the Caribbean or somewhere in Cuba or the Keys in the 40s and 50s. Lots of plants everywhere, really beautiful tile. And I think another really cool thing about us doing Watchmen's where it is that our good friends Ticonderoga Club next door, we're literally right next door to them. And so we thought, oh, we could create this cool like cocktail destination where people can jump back and forth between the two. And we think we've done that there.
Absolutely.
What I love about your restaurants, they both have a real cohesive feel to them, from the cocktail menu to the decor, to the food that's served, to you've done a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that is mixologist Miles McQuarrie from the Kimball House and from Watchman Seafood. And David, thank you so much for joining
us
in the studio.
Thanks, Miles. Yeah,
Happy New Year to both of you.
Happy New Year, Melinda.
All right, Happy New Year to our listeners. We'll join you next year. That sounds so weird.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Listen, weather forecasters are predicting an active weather storm season in the South, with storms and even ice, especially in January and February. Now, we can thank El Nino for that. And when winter weather knocks out your water, your power, your heat, you pretty much will know what it feels like to live off the grid. But why wait until disaster strikes? Here now with tips to talk about how to get ready and how to handle living without utilities is off-the-grid expert Mark McGinnis. Now, Mark, here in Atlanta, we don't do that very well at all. So I'm glad that you're joining us by phone. And you are with more than 20 years of severe weather forecasting and communications experience, and a true authority in forensic meteorology. So help us to manage this, what's coming our way, a little better, because we can't survive on a wet leaf around Atlanta.
That's funny, Belinda. Yeah, you know what? Everybody has a difficult time when it comes to snow and ice. I don't care where you are in the country, it is going to significantly impact your day-to-day routine. So the biggest thing, Belinda, is to be prepared and understand that this type of weather can happen in Atlanta. I know it doesn't happen that often, but it does. And as you mentioned, you guys don't handle it that well. So the big key is getting great information. So when it comes to weather forecasts, you want reliable sources. So your local media and the National Weather Service are the best places to get the most accurate, timely information as far as this wintry weather. And you just saw everybody to your north and to your northeast just had some snow and ice just a little over a week ago. So it does happen. The big key is to be prepared, Belinda. So right off the bat, what you can do, and this is always really good, is to kind of get as much as you can done way before a storm ever hits.
Okay.
So go outside your house, take a little survey. You see any disease or dead trees or branches, you're going to want to take those down if they're close to your house. You obviously don't want that falling on your roof.
Mm-hmm.
You can check your gutters, make sure they're not clogged with leaves and pine needles. Get that all cleared out, because water obviously is a big concern. You want to always keep that outside of your house and draining away from your foundation. And then inside the house, Belinda, you want to make sure that you have good supplies as far as riding out a storm, because some of these worst ice storms, and even in Atlanta, we've had power out for 1 to 2 days, sometimes even longer in the really bad ones.
Yeah.
So having a good winter weather emergency kit that includes, obviously, blankets in your house, but you might want to throw a couple in your car as well, flashlight, batteries, first aid kit. You want to make sure you have enough medicine as well. A battery-powered radio, so if the power goes out, you can still get information. And then as far as if the power goes out, you know, in the South, a lot of us have electric heat. So you want to make sure that you have a way to stay warm, whether that's around a fireplace with a safe chimney that's clean and safe to use, or if it's with backup power.
Okay, here in the South, we go to the grocery store, we get milk, bread, toilet paper, and we think we're set.
Yeah, you buy a lot of perishable items. That's I never got that with snowstorms. Why are you buying perishable items?
I don't know. We get milk, bread, and toilet paper, and then we call ourselves ready for the storm. So, what do we do about heat if we have electric heat? and we don't have a fireplace?
That's a great question. So at that point, you know, the other issue is, too, if you're going to stay in your house, and I think most of us would rather stay at our house, once you get into these icy situations, it's just not safe to leave. So you need to make these plans before the storm hits, because it's not going to be safe to drive around, and you can't take for granted that they're going to clear off the roads because, you know, the South, we just don't have enough dump trucks and salt to be able to do that. So here's what's really key, and you can do this well before a storm, too. You can do this any time of year, is figure out, how am I going to stay warm? Am I just going to use extra sweaters and blankets, or do I need backup power? And Generac has kindly introduced us to talk this morning about backup power. And they have a full range of generators, whether it's just a small portable one that you could use for one room, or they have whole home solutions as well. And what the peace of mind with that is, it's automated. So once the power goes out, it takes about 10, 15 seconds, it automatically kicks in. And when the power is restored, it automatically turns off.
So you could have that just for heating one room, or you could have it running the stove, the refrigerator, what have you.
Yeah, it's a full line of solutions. So you could have a really small one just for a couple things, or you could have a generator run your entire house.
Okay, how much food should we prepare to keep in the house, say, if we don't have a generator, and worst case scenario, if we don't have a generator, how much food, non-perishable food, should we keep in the house?
Typically, power in the big storms is out 1 to 2 days. The historic homes, or the historic storms, can keep power out at your home for upwards of 3 to 5 days. They don't happen very often. They happen once every decade or two. But the more common winter storm is going to knock out power for a day or two. And so you should have enough, say, canned food in your pantry for a day or two. And if you want to have a little bit more than that for peace of mind, I totally understand. One benefit of losing power in the winter is typically cold air follows these storms, so if you do have a lot of items in your refrigerator, you can put them in containers and throw them out in your garage, and as long as your garage stays in the 30s or colder, that food's going to stay safe.
Now, what about cooking on your grills outside, your gas grills and your charcoal grills?
As long as you have them outside, that is an option. It's safe to use. You do not want to move them into your garage or any interior spot at all, and you don't want to do that with any kind of combustion engine.
Okay. All right. Now, speaking of, what should we have in our cars at all times during the winter to make sure that we are as safe as we can possibly be?
So it's really good during wintry weather is to have, obviously, jumper cables. You want to have that in your car no matter what the season is. You want to have some extra blankets. If you had some non-perishable food, just in case you were stuck in traffic jams, because if you are, say, driving home from work, it's a Thursday afternoon at 5 o'clock during an ice or a snowstorm in Atlanta, you could be on that interstate for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so having maybe a little bit of snack food would be good to stay warm. If you have a small little shovel, so if you get stuck, you can move the snow and ice from your tires. And also having a little bit of snow melt in there, too, or melting compound like salt, that would help as well as far as trying to throw it around your car so you can get better traction.
Okay, and we just get that at our local Home Depot, Ace Hardware, Lowe's?
Absolutely, yeah. You can stock up on most of that at your hardware store.
Okay. Now, what are they predicting exactly? We have our own Kirk Mellish, who's an ace meteorologist here at WSB Radio, but what are they saying that we're going to get this winter?
Well, with El Nino setting up, it's going to be an active winter across the southern United States. So the probabilities are for higher than average rainfall. Also, a little bit of an uptick in your chance for severe weather.
Mm-hmm.
And if everything times out right, it also increases your chances of seeing snow and ice. Because typically what happens in Atlanta, northeast Georgia, the upstate of South Carolina, is you have that cold air come down the east side of the mountains. And then you have one of these storms come in, you get into some ice and snow at the beginning of the storm. So those are all things you should be prepared and aware of over the next 2 to 3 months.
So everybody listening remember Snowmageddon. What was that, 2 to 3 years ago when everyone was stuck on the interstate for hours on end? And, some people didn't even get home for days because we had a layer of ice a couple of inches on the interstate. Then we had a layer of snow. So we had just absolute pandemonium on the highways.
Yeah, and Belinda, I can tell you from experience and you know, just observations and working around the country, that 1 inch of snow at 4:30 in the afternoon during the weekday is absolutely devastating, because these bigger storms, when they happen, everybody is well aware of them, and they just kind of stay home, or they change their schedule a little bit so they're better prepared. It's those small storms. They don't even have to be big, but if it drops an inch of snow at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it just devastates the commute.
Well, I think schools all let out at the same time, and so did government offices, and it was just the perfect storm, so to speak, and it just devastated the city.
Yeah, and that's why it's almost a benefit to have a big storm, because the communication's a lot better and people plan ahead of time, versus a small storm hitting in the afternoon and people react too late in the game. And at that point, then you saw what happened. Everybody's stuck on the road trying to get to home at the same time.
You know, something you said at the beginning of the interview that I hadn't thought of, and I'm guilty of this myself. I have a tree that is not all the way dead. It has some partial limbs that are dead that in an ice storm will fall.
Yeah, and you might want to take care of that sooner than later, because even without an ice storm, your homeowner's insurance, you need to take care of that, because you don't want your insurance company to know about that.
No, I don't. Well, is there any other information you'd like to share with us, Mark McGinnis?
Well, Belinda, yeah, thank you so much. We've obviously covered a lot, and obviously not everybody's going to remember everything. So Generac has this great resource online that you can check out on your phone or at your computer. Go to generac.com, and they have a section there, Be Prepared. And they have items there, what to do before the storm, during the storm, and after the storm. They're checklists that'll make it easier the next time you're hit with snow and ice and wind. You'll be better prepared, and as a result, it'll be less of an impact on you.
Absolutely, and that's for your safety as well. Thank you so much for joining us by phone, and may we all weather these storms without any major circumstances.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Belinda.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Atlanta Living, only on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB.
Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Hey, welcome back, y'all, to Atlanta Living. It is time for Breaking Chews. Now, this is our weekly check-in on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local restaurants, chefs, festivals. I'm here with our favorite foodie correspondent, David Danzig, of the website bitesandsights.net, also a food writer for Atlanta Social Season magazine, and, of course, BelindaSkelton.com. So, a colossal new restaurant opening this past week, and you're calling it the biggest in the decade.
I mean, on sheer scale alone, the buzziest restaurant opening, the past 10 years in Atlanta has to be the new Little Alley Steak that just opened in Buckhead. And, you know, they just opened their massive doors. These are literally massive doors. Just this past week. So the original, if you don't know, is in downtown Roswell, and it's small. It's a very intimate. It's got a kind of a butcher theme. It's just this incredibly intimate and beloved, you know, den of red meat and great seafood and red wine and brown liquor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now the owners, F&H Food Trading Company, they also operate three very popular Salt Factory pubs. They feel like they're ready for the Buckhead big leagues.
And they are.
And they inhabited the former Asia space right by Phipps on Lenox Road. This is a 9,000 square foot space.
And, you know, the old one was kind of vast and cavernous. It just felt empty. But the designers have absolutely hit a home run. I mean, you've seen it.
It's stunning.
It's just stunning. So they divided up this massive space into two smaller dining rooms, a gorgeous bar, and it feels, you know, grand, but it's also wonderfully intimate, and it's just kind of sexy, you know. There's red leather banquettes. They do these, you know, the tables are butcher's block, and there's white subway tiles, and there are literally, it's a sea of those Edison
bulbs
hanging from the ceiling, these giant, you know, bulbs that are just incredible.
On the butcher block hooks.
On the hooks. Like, there's so many great little features in this place. There's also an outdoor bar and terrace. It's like unlike anything else in the city. Of course, the food and service has to be top shelf if it's going to sustain this buzz. But you can expect the same incredible food from Little Alley in Roswell, the porcini crusted scallops, their cold water oysters, the Kobe beef burgers, and of course, their wet and dry age, 100% black Angus beef. It's just, you know, it's just magnificent. So with the size of the operation and the design of the space and really the theatrical presentation, they have over 400 bottles of bourbon.
I was going to mention that. Did you see all the bourbon bottles?
Bourbon, scotch, whiskey. I mean, this is the kind of spectacle you really would more likely see in Vegas or South Beach, you know.
Yeah.
But this is here in Atlanta. It's in Buckhead. There are 7 steakhouses in Buckhead. So Little Alley has a lot of competition. But you know what? If I was an old guard steakhouse in Buckhead that relied on regulars, I'd be pretty worried. The new Little Alley Steak in Buckhead, you absolutely must check this out. I will have a link up at BelindaSkelton.com. I've got a bunch of pictures. And, you know, bon appetit.
Absolutely. Where can we find you during the week?
My website is bitesandsites.net, B-I-T-E-S, the letter N-S-I-T-E-S. And please follow me on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook at Bites and Sites.
I can't wait to see what you bring to the table next week. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB.